Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is December 4th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So I got my coffee right here, folks. It is a Sunday morning. It's about 9 o'clock or 9:30, and I'm driving around here. It is sunny and beautiful out. Unfortunately, it is quite cold. So maybe some of you are thinking, well, that's not possible. It can't be beautiful if it's cold. I beg to differ. I'm a big fan of the seasons. I don't really like it when it gets freezing cold, I have to be honest with everyone, but I do like the seasons. I do like the changes. And over the years, it's made me realize how much I appreciate things all the more due to the variations of the cycles of nature. And indeed, folks, we are engaged in one of the most unbelievable seasons. I think you could say the most unbelievable season or cycle that humanity has ever been through. I think that this entire cycle of humanity has been building up to this climactic point, this climactic moment. And, you know, there's different ways to look at what we're going through. You could look at this climactic moment as this really this collective of events that we're experiencing, or you could look at it as something specific that's going to set off a chain of events that will change society and human history and the trajectory of our experience as human beings forever. But one way or another, folks, we are living through epic times. And with every passing day, things get more exciting, things get more intense. And yes, along with that, I think there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of fear that always surrounds the unknown. And that is something we have to remember and embrace, I think, as digital warriors, and recognize that whatever it is that we have to go through in order to get to the other side of this battle against this satanic evil that is all-encompassing, that is everywhere around us, we have to focus on that. And that alone, because ultimately there is no future for us. There's no future for our children. There's no future for humanity. There's no room for half measures. And, you know, there have been a lot of folks out there who have been talking about where we go from here. And in terms of not really so much what's the next shoe that's going to drop per se, but really, I think reframing the battlefield in a sense, or reframing our perspective on the battlefield. And the last show that I did a couple days ago, I was talking about how in the wake of the midterms and when things didn't go the way that I expected them to go, it really forced me inward, first of all, because I was experiencing a lot of disillusion and distress in that moment. But also it forced me in the larger scheme of things to zoom out, as I often say, and to reassess where we are, and to take into consideration that everything that we've heard, everything that we've been led to believe may happen, so much of that has been disinformation for tactical reasons. And, you know, obviously, with every day that goes by, we continue to get more of that. We continue to get more intel. And as we know, the intel is both good information and bad information, all sifted together. And like I've said, it's very hard to disconnect yourself from the sense of expectation when something is being dangled right in front of you. And again, this continually happens to the Patriot community. And I think that a lot of folks now are really as kind of a defensive measure for themselves personally, and to keep their vibration high, to keep their frequency elevated, to not continue to go into these valleys of depression and even despair for moments in time when things don't go the way that we want them to. I think a lot of people are starting to think to themselves, all right, how can I change the way that I'm looking at this entire war? How can I change my expectations without disconnecting from the battle? Because like I've talked about before, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there is no disconnecting from the battle. There is no walking away. I mean, sure, I could go right now and I could delete my channel and I could take everything down that had anything to do with Patriot Underground, but where would I go from there? What would I do? I mean, not that it's about my podcast. I'm just using my example, my journey as an example. I mean, you think to yourself, as frustrated as you get and as angry as you may get at the white hats and their approach, what other options do we have at our disposal other than we, the people, taking matters into our own hands kinetically, which is something that, yes, it's an option that we always reserve. It's the last straw, I suppose you could say. It's the last line of defense against tyranny, and we recognize and celebrate that here in the United States. And I do believe that worldwide, I think all of the people around the world understand that to be the case, that violence is something that we don't want to go down that road. I mean, heck, if, had we wanted to go down that road, we'd be having a very different conversation right now, if any at all. As I've said many, many times, if this war that we're engaged in right now were not a silent war, so to speak, if it weren't a hidden war, if it weren't an underground war, if it weren't a digital war, if it weren't a psychological war, a spiritual war, all of the above, and it actually was a kinetic battle like the deep state and the cabal wanted and still want and still are pushing for, we wouldn't have a great awakening, because people don't have the time, the energy, the effort, the wherewithal, the ability to be able to do all the things that we've done to educate ourselves, to connect with one another, to learn. That can only happen on a backdrop of peace. And that's why it's so important, I think, for us to remember that we are being given a gift. We don't recognize oftentimes because we're so focused on all of the negative things that are happening around us. And there's no doubt about the fact that they are. But how many times have you heard me and so many other people say, this is a war. And in war, there are going to be losses. There are going to be casualties. There are going to continue to be casualties. And, you know, two people that I respect very much were putting out information, one being SG Anon and the other being Kerry Cassidy. Now, SG, I think it was in file 28, talked about the very real possibility that we could be looking at another pathogen release, I think is the way that he put it, that the deep state still has that certain pathogens at their disposal that they can release on all of us, I suppose, is the best way to say it. That the Alliance has neutralized the truly awful, deadly ones that would actually wipe out humanity, but they still have some of these cards to play, and that there's a real possibility that the white hats are going to allow the release of one of these pathogens. In other words, that we may be seeing the buildup now to COVID part two. That maybe they just gave us this reprieve, so to speak, and that they're going to gear up and they're going to do it again in order to wake up a whole mass of the population. That the thinking is that if they put people through this traumatic experience again, this terrible lockdown experience again, that it's going to wake up more people. Now, Kerry wrote an article that didn't pull any punches. And again, this is not to call out either one of them, because as folks know, like I said, I have great respect for both of these individuals. I've had them both on my show. I will continue to as long as they want to come on. But this is just to highlight, in a sense, where we're at right now. Now, Kerry, like I said, she responded to this pretty forcefully. And I know that she is a big fan and a huge supporter of SG's work. And she's made that very clear. In fact, she was the first person who made me aware that he was out there before he really blew up and became who he is now. in the style of Derek Johnson. I mean, it's like SG Anon, Derek Johnson. These guys just erupted, absolutely erupted onto the scene. And I mean, virtually overnight became, at least, you know, I think in the perspective of so many people out there, became instantly famous in this movement, as a part of this movement. Not that that was their intention, but that's just me tipping the hat to them and saying, bravo, gentlemen. I mean, you guys came on and you just absolutely rocked the world of so many people and continue to be pillars of this movement and this community. But anyhow, Gary had a very strong reaction to this line of thinking. And it's not that she was attacking SG specifically. I think she's more being critical of the white hat approach, because remember, SG is an insider. He does have connections, let's just say. He has a mentor who does provide him with intel. So her criticism was to say, listen, isn't this twisted logic? And again, I'm paraphrasing. Everyone can go read Kerry's article if they want to. But isn't this really twisted logic to think that if we put the population through this trauma again, if we have this lockdown again, we release, I mean, and again, who knows whether or not COVID was actually a real pathogen, whether it's, and that's a conversation for another day, because I've talked about that as well. Like so many have pointed out, it's never been isolated and so on and so forth. But regardless, whether they have a real pathogen, excuse me, or they don't, if they decide that they're going to gear up for a COVID part two, let's just say, isn't it crazy to think that by putting these sleepers out there who didn't get it the first time, who all they did was comply with whatever they were told, they wore the mask. And again, I'm not judging certain people. I mean, folks, in my own life, there were times when I had to wear a mask. So I'm not judging anybody out there. We did what we had to do to get through COVID. And, you know, again, even if there are people out there listening, and I know there are, because I've had folks listen to me, write to me rather, who are listeners, who have told me that they did get the shot. It was individual who wrote to me recently, who was very upset over the fact that she's recently woken up and she's discovered the mistake that she made. But she also expressed to me that she was the sole breadwinner in her family, that she has a whole bunch of people that depend upon her income. And there are a lot, I mean, folks, there are so many people out there who fell exactly into that category in those circumstances. They had to do it, because if they didn't, they were going to lose their job. They were going to lose their ability to support their families. And that just was a bridge too far for certain people. Now, again, I'm not going to sit here in judgment of people. If there are folks out there who want to judge folks for making that decision, well, that's your business. I'm not going to judge people for what they had to do. But the point is that people like this individual are waking up and realizing the mistake that they made. And they're realizing that everything that they were led to believe was a lie. And so, you know, there are people out there who are coming on board. There are people who are discovering more and more and are terrified over the fact that they put something into their body that turned out to be a weapon. So there are some people out there, but you know, kind of going back to this issue here about a COVID part two, and what I was talking about with what SG was pointing out and Kerry's criticism, isn't it somewhat crazy to think that if we put the population as a whole through this exact same experience, where people the first time around complied, they wore the mask, they got the shot, they did everything that they were told, they 6 feet apart, they policed everybody else. I mean, people bought into this thing hook, line, and sinker. And as you know, there are still a whole bunch of people out there, unfortunately, still wearing masks. I still see it all the time. I mean, I don't see it at the same level as I used to, but for me, it seems pretty obvious that if the mainstream media says, wear a mask again, that a majority of the people around are going to comply the same way they did last time. Are there really any indicators to suggest that that wouldn't be the case? And not only that, I think Kerry was pointing out, you know, if they go ahead with this and if they decide that they're going to roll out or they're going to allow the deep state to roll out this tyranny once again, even if it's for noble reasons to try to wake people up, how many good people are going to die in the process? How much more do we, the awakened, the ones who have chosen the light, the ones who have chosen the right path, how much more do we have to suffer in order to wake up or even attempt to wake up all of these sleepers out there? Now, you hear me all the time talk about, and I mean, just the other day, and I'm not contradicting myself. I'm just putting this out there. You hear me talk all the time about the critical necessity of having that consensus for so many different reasons. But the biggest one of all is that so that we can avoid falling into civil war, the crumbling of our civilization, and we can actually, rather than that, we can unify, we can come together against the common enemy and actually ascend as a people. So you hear me talk about this all the time. And I 100% believe that that is and has to be the strategy, is to bring as many people up to speed, to awaken as many people as you possibly can before you fully disclose the evils that are at play here and have been at play for thousands of years, and attempt to fundamentally really revolutionize society. You have to have people at a readiness point. But the catch is, I guess, or the flip side of the coin, as I often say, is at what cost? And is it really feasible? Is it possible? Is it going to happen the way that the white hats are anticipating it will? Because Kerry's really saying this is twisted logic. Now, the definition of insanity, as they say, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Now, obviously, this is an issue that can be debated. Did COVID and the lockdowns and all this stuff, did it wake up a whole bunch of people? Yeah, it did. But did it also underscore just how far gone a massive portion of our society is? You might even say the majority of our society in terms of compliance, in terms of apathy, in terms of just simply doing what they're told? Well, yeah. So, I mean, you could look at it from multiple different perspectives, but the point here is that if you do it again, if you roll it out again, are you going to end up with a different result? I mean, sure, a lot of people are going to die, that's for sure. But how many people have to die in order to wake up more people? Is that ratio something that we shouldn't talk about? Is it going to really turn out the way that they anticipate that it will? I don't know. Who knows? Maybe this time they're going to go much farther than they did last time, if this is the case. And I have to tell you, folks, when I heard SG talk about this, and I thought to myself, oh my God, you mean to tell me that we're going to have to go through this whole thing again? We're going to have to go through this lockdown. We're going to have to go the ramping up of the vaccine mandates and all these things again. And then I thought to myself, if they do and they allow this to go forward, and given the position that the deep state is in, it's going to be far worse. They're probably going to try to actually make these things mandatory. I mean, I don't know how this would look, but I think it's a very interesting conversation. I think it's a necessary conversation for the patriots to put out there to say, listen, because we don't really know, obviously, what the white hat strategy is here. And we all support the Q plan. That's why we're here. That's why we're still here. And kudos to all the people who are still here. after all of the ups and downs on this journey. I mean, it really warms my heart, especially when I hear from people that I know have been there. And this is me just kind of, you know, speaking on a personal level, who have been there since the beginning of my journey. I mean, it warms my heart to know that I have fellow soldiers who don't back down, who don't quit, who still have fight left in them. We're still here. We still believe in this plan. We want to believe and support what the White Hats are doing. But what Kerry's pointing out here is that, you know, we don't necessarily have to just sit back and not criticize. And that's one of the things I have to say about Kerry Cassidy. People can have whatever opinions they want. They're going to anyway. I've learned that. No matter what you say, you're not going to please everybody. But Kerry Cassidy doesn't pull any punches, and she tells it the way it is. She's not afraid of the blowback. She's not afraid of the criticism for speaking what she perceives to be the truth. And very often I am in agreement with Kerry. Like I say, I'm not in lockstep agreement with her or anybody else that I have on my show. But I can tell you one thing, more often than not, even if I'm not 100% in agreement, I think that Kerry is making a fundamentally important point. And I think she's making an important one here. We have to start having the conversation, I think, as patriots about, you know, what is this plan? Because we don't know the details. Where is this plan really going? What is this plan going to require of us moving forward? And is everything being determined from a human perspective or an AI perspective? Now, this is something that she pointed out here. And this is her main criticism, is that she often talks about what this really is, this conflict that we're engaged in. If you go up the food chain, so to speak, what you find are two competing AI systems. She's talked about how, of course, the dark side has theirs, and more importantly and relevantly for this conversation, the White Hats have theirs as well. And her criticism is that they're using this AI in order to war game, of course, in order to looking glass, if you will, all of these different situations and scenarios. How can we play the next move? What's going to look like if we do this? And what's it going to look like if we do that? And obviously, those who've been following the Q and the Q drops know that this couldn't have just simply been done by a human being, that it has to be augmented by AI. It's pretty obvious that they're using an AI. But to what extent is the AI actually making the decisions versus the human beings? And she was talking a lot about the God spark, and that it's really ultimately incumbent upon us as humanity to recognize that that element that makes us human, quintessentially, is what's going to win this war, not AI versus AI. And as I mentioned to folks, I'm going to be having Kerry on December 12th, and I'm excited because we're also going to have Gene Decode. And I think that is going to be a really, really interesting show. We're going to talk, I'm sure, about AI, because those two have been talking a lot about the alien agenda, of course, and specifically what's going on in Ukraine. I mean, absolutely mind-blowing information. For folks who haven't listened to Gene's interview with Nicholas Miniamin, his most recent, he went into a lot of this detail. And actually, I was listening to that interview, and he mentioned Kerry and the intel that she's put out about the actual non-terrestrial combat that's going on in the Ukraine. And I thought to bring those two together on that issue and so many others would be fascinating. So just a little side note there to remind folks, mark your calendars, because I think that's going to be a really great one. But, you know, this is an incredible moment that we're in. All of us have had to look at this entire war, the trajectory of the war, several different times along the way of this journey. We've had to reassess where we are based upon the realities that it looks like that we're facing versus the expectations that we had. And moving forward, I think it's a very, very important element of this discussion is for, you know, I'm not suggesting in any way that patriots out there are losing trust or losing faith in the plan to such a degree that we're in some sort of critical danger with that, because I don't believe that to be the case. I mean, I know people out there are battle fatigued. I know people are worn down. And I know, yes, there are a lot of people who are questioning, and there are a lot of people who have lost trust or are beginning to lose trust in the plan. And then if you add on this element, this potential, now that we're going into the winter months, that we're going to be facing another lockdown of sorts, it's weighing very heavily, I think, upon the mind and the conscience, the consciousness rather, of the awakened out there. Of course, the sleepers, they're just, you know, going about their merry way, awaiting orders from the mainstream media. But those of us who are awakened can recognize where we are and can kind of see where things might be going, are very concerned at this point. You know, the people out there, I think there is a palpable sense of, it depends upon the day, of course, but there is a palpable sense of fear that folks are feeling, that they're contending with. And this is what I was talking about the other day, how it's so critical for us to recognize what we're presented with through the lens of whether or not it's a distraction that even matters in the grand scheme of the plan. Now, in terms of, you know, people like Kanye West coming out and making outrageous statements, or, you know, the FTX scenario and all of these other news stories that are just coming out day after day, the Balenciaga story. Now, they're serving a very important purpose, like I talked about. But so much of the information that we're being presented with is a distraction. But then when we hear about the potential for another lockdown and another series of vaccine mandates and this whole push to, again, I think that people out there view that as a bit more than a distraction, because let's face it, that's going to have a direct impact on all of us if that's the road that we have to go down. Now, I'm not going to sit here, you know, and be immature and just, you know, wring my hands and say, I'm not doing it. I'm not going down that road. I refuse to this and that, because I recognize that to some extent, there's not so much of an ability for any of us to control what strategies the white hats have chosen. In other words, there's only so much influence that we have. Now, I think collectively, as human beings, we have an enormous amount of power. But the problem is that still to this day, we haven't really discovered yet the ability to harness that power, to come together collectively, to actually manifest the reality that we all want, because there's still so much of this division, even within our own ranks. So it's a very, very disturbing scenario that I think that we find ourselves in right now. Because folks are realizing and coming to this gradual acknowledgement that before this is all over, it really is going to be a near-death experience. And we don't know what that's going to look like. That's, I think, what's feeding so much of the anxiety. And all of these unanswered questions, they do tend to mount. They tend to accumulate. And on certain days, I think people do get overwhelmed. And that, of course, is what forces us inward, like I said, and I referenced earlier. And ultimately, for me, that means bringing me closer to my Creator. because all of those negative emotions that build up inside of me, what I find at the end of the day is that I have to give all of that to God, and I have to be willing to have faith regardless of what's being thrown at us. However, I also think that it's important for us to start to exert our voice more in terms of being not attacking the white hat plan and not being critical just for criticism's sake, but actually having these conversations and saying, at what point is enough enough in terms of putting the population through this repetitive process, this trauma? Is it actually going to work the way that they expect it will? Is it going to wake people up? Or is it going to just reinforce what all of these sleepers think that they already know? Which is that we're living in a world now where it's just constant threat of pandemics, constant dictates coming from the state telling us what we can and can't do. Because sadly, folks, there are a lot of people out there who are more than happy to live their lives that way, just being told what to do. And I think that's a big part of the problem that we're facing. That's a big obstacle in the sense of removing the apathy and somehow instilling this spirit of rebellion. Like Carrie's book, you know, The Rebel Gene. And that's one of the things I find that's just so difficult on a spiritual level for me personally, is that it's not so much that I can't wake people up. Because, yeah, I mean, that's extremely frustrating. But it's deeper than that. The reason that you can't wake a lot of people up is because they don't want to wake up. They don't want to look at all of these things. They don't desire the truth. And that's the thing. And if you really want to even go deeper than that, why? What's the answer to that question? Why don't they want to know the truth? It's because there's some sort of passion. There's a connection to something deeper and greater than themselves that they're lacking, that's preventing them from wanting that information. And it's sad, folks, but it's true. You can't make everybody drink. You can lead the horse to water, right? But you can't make everybody drink. And why don't they want to drink? Well, they're not thirsty in the way that we are. And so when Carrie makes this point and says, you know, we're the ones who are awakened, we're the ones who have been fighting and fighting, and who are the white, you know, the white hats need to remember who it is that they're fighting for. Now, on that point, I would certainly probably say that I do believe that the white hats are fighting for all of us. That I agree with SG, and this is, again, not to, you know, to highlight or to criticize the specific points that either one of these individuals are making. But on this point, I happen to agree with SG that we are doing this at the end of the day. This is for everybody. This is for the, like he says, the 24-year-old communist who works at the grocery store. It's for everyone. Because these people who have this ideology, this mentality, they've been deceived their entire lives. They've bought into the lie, and they've been subjected to nothing but propaganda and silent weapons and attacks on them that they don't even begin to understand or even going on. So yes, we're doing this to liberate all of mankind. But I think Carrie raises a really good point here, which is, you know, how much of this can we the people sustain? And is this actually going to be effective in waking people up? You know, I've said before that for me, I think the day that I'm going to celebrate the most, other than this real climactic moment, you know, when we can actually recognize that we have taken this thing over the goal line and we've achieved victory. But for me, I guess almost like the pre-victory celebration is when I start having people come up to me, or I even start hearing people have conversations in public, overhearing conversations about issues that they've never had before, starting to talk about, oh, what is this adrenochrome thing? It's starting to talk about child trafficking and human trafficking and satanic ritual abuse. And heck, before we even get there, I mean, I suppose I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but you know, how about talking about the truth about the vaccine, quote unquote, which is really, you know, the transhumanism bioweapon. Or talking about the reality of what happened or what happens and what continues to happen in our election process. When you start hearing those types of conversations in your daily life, you start recognizing that people are actually waking up. For me, I think that is going to be victory. Not ultimate victory, but that, folks, is going to feel, I can't even begin to describe what that'll feel like. After all these years, I don't think I need to, because I think all of you can resonate with that immediately. And it's not about personal vindication. It's just about finally a sense of relief, a sense that the weight of the world that we've carried on our shoulders, which is the truth, and standing up for the truth and refusing to back down from our quest for the truth and from what we know to be right. It's taken a lot out of us, folks. But it's also built us up and strengthened us and transformed us into more powerful human beings than we could possibly imagine. And I think right now, because we're all battle weary, we're all fatigued, we're all tired and angry on so many different levels, we can't necessarily recognize all the time the amazing growth that we've experienced. We can't necessarily see all of the fruits of our labor because we're still in this position where there's so much uncertainty. But that uncertainty is what's driving the awakening of the general population, like I talked about yesterday. Is it worth going through? Do I think it's necessarily going to be effective to have us go through a whole new set of lockdowns? And do I think that Kerry has a lot of really good points? Yeah, I do. I question that strategy. I think that a lot of people who are on the edge right now, who might be starting to wake up, there's a good possibility that if we see this tyranny rise again and we see this huge clampdown, yes, it's going to wake up more people, but I also think it's going to cost a lot of lives. It's going to cost a lot of us in just innumerable ways. And how much of this, at this stage of the game, can people really sustain? It's a tough question. I think a lot of us, in so many ways, were hoping that we were going to have, and we still may, don't get me wrong, I'm not, you know, backing away from this idea of a scare event. But I think so many of us were hoping and praying for this type of scare event, because we would recognize that it was not real and that it was being done in order to shock the public, or, you know, to have this shock moment that's going to jar people's consciousness and awaken, spur the awakening process. I think a lot of us were actively praying and still are for that type of a scenario to unfold so that we don't have to go through this, you know, a continuation of this very long, drawn-out process. I think when people think about another winter of this, or having to go through another year under this tyranny, it's just, for so many folks, it's just too much to even bear to think about. And yet, this may be what's required of us. And so I do think that there's an amazing conversation to be had. And I think that as long as we are willing to have that conversation, and as long as we're willing to hold the white hats accountable to a certain degree to what we the people are thinking and feeling, then I think we can continue to rally patriots around this plan. But if there is this disconnect that isn't addressed, because I know that, you know, like SG talks about there and others as well, you know, they've been monitoring and continue to monitor all of these podcasts. I don't know about mine specifically, but certainly they're paying very close attention to the spiritual state, the emotional state, the mental state of we the people. And I think that as awakened patriots, I don't think that it's unhealthy for us to question information as it comes out. Do we have to trust and have faith? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean to have absolute trust and blind faith. I mean, we can use the faculties that the good Lord blessed us with to ask questions. And, you know, perhaps, who knows, folks, maybe the white hats are waiting for us to do more of that. That's a big part of what we're up against, is that we're not necessarily sure in certain cases, because we're given hints and we're given clues, and but we don't really know necessarily exactly what it is that's required of us, what the white hats are waiting for. And so is it possible that they're waiting for the awakened patriots out there to start asking more questions, to start being more critical, in a sense, to kind of force their hand, to force the issue? Because let's face it, if they don't have the support of the American people, then none of this is going to work. They have to maintain that support. They have to maintain that trust. And that's really what this is all about. We are an incredibly powerful force, the American patriots in this country alone. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The reason that we have remained peaceful, and we will continue to, let me be very clear, I am not calling for any type of violence. I am not suggesting that we should organize or move in this direction. I am not suggesting that in one little bit. But I'm just reminding everyone that we are the largest standing army in the history of the world. And we would be the fiercest fighting force on our own turf. There's no way that any of us want to go down this road. And the reason that we haven't, folks, amidst all of these dire circumstances, the reason that we haven't is because of our trust in this plan, which ultimately is an extension of our faith in our Creator. But you look at what's going on in China right now, and that's a whole different topic there. And the next time, I remember that one of the conversations I had with Jim, we got into China a little bit, but then we didn't get back into it. I really want to have him back on the show and talk about China, because it really is a mysterious situation that's going on over there. There's a lot of new developments that I'm not going to delve into right now, but just to highlight the point here of what's on the surface. You see what's happening in China. You see what's happened in so many other countries across the world over the past couple of years. It's not going to happen here in the United States under any circumstances. And the reason that it's not going to happen here is because when push comes to shove, if it ever did, God forbid, the American people will fight kinetically for their freedom. And I think that, you know, having that card to play as a last resort and reminding everyone out there that this is still a card that's something that we have at our disposal. Not that we want to use it, but there comes a certain point that you can only push people so far. And like I've said, if they intend to put boots on the ground, if they intend to do anything that looks like what's going on in China, we will fight back. We're not going to sit on our hands. We're not going to allow that type of tyranny to take hold here. Now, you have to remember, This is coming from a person that, as you know, has spoken to you so many times, who believes wholeheartedly that we're not going down this road. But there's always has to be an insurance policy. There always has to be. It's the reason that we own guns. I mean, we don't plan on shooting anybody with them. We don't want to shoot anybody with them. We don't want to ever have to use them in self-defense, but yet we also recognize the importance of owning them in case it ever did come to that. And all I'm saying is that I think there's a possibility that us as a patriotic movement have to start being a little bit more forceful in pushing back against ideas that we are not comfortable with, that we're not necessarily in agreement with. I mean, if there are certain strategies that that looks like they're going to employ or implement, I should say, and we're objecting to them, then I think that we should make that known. And it's possible that there is an element of the white hats that are waiting for us to start doing that, to start pushing back, to start saying, all right, that's it, we've had it. I mean, because you hear people like, you know, Juan O'Savin, for example, talk about, are the American people going to show up? Are the American people going to tolerate this? You've heard so many of these big influential figures within our movement say similar things. Now, obviously, we know they're not pushing us toward violence. They're not trying to suggest that we become violent. But what are they suggesting? I don't even think necessarily that they're suggesting that we should take it to the streets, because we all remember what happened on January 6th. And I think people have a real healthy concern that they don't want to end up in some DC prison somewhere. They don't want to walk into some Fed trap. And so a lot of people out there are sort of saying, well, okay, what is it that you want us to do? What more can we do? And maybe, this is just a thought, and I could be wrong, but maybe they want to hear us start to become more critical of them, to indicate that there's only so much of this that we're going to tolerate, that we're not going to necessarily just go along with everything that they're telling us with all of this information that's coming out, that at a certain point, our patience is going to run out. And like I've said, a lot of folks out there have already gotten to that point. And these are people that, you know, listen to me even for a long time. And I, over the past couple of months, I've received messages from people and comments, and people are just saying, I'm done. And it's not so much that they're angry at me. I mean, in certain cases they are, but expressing their anger at me. But I think really what it is, I mean, people know I'm not in charge of anything. I'm trying to figure this out and navigate all of this right alongside you. But, you know, people have gotten to a point where they're just, so many people have gotten to that point where they're just done. And I just, my concern overall is that, because I'm not at that point, if I'm being honest with people. I'm not at that point, or I'm not even close to that point, where I'm just going to say, I'm done. That for me, that point comes if and only if, like I say, they cross red lines. They put boots on the ground. If they ever decided, for whatever reason, to start coming after the American people, that's the point where I'm done. So I'm not there. But I'm also recognizing, and I'm recognizing what's happening within the movement. And my concern is that I understand that we have to have a near-death experience to permanently emblazon this crisis, this multi-leveled crisis, multi-tiered crisis of humanity, permanently in our genetic memory. I understand that. But my concern is that if it goes on for too long, if it gets drawn out for too long, we're going to start losing support for the plan, support within the patriot community, that it's going to have the effect of not unifying people, but basically just dividing people even further. Not to mention all the loss of life and all the other concerns that I talked about if they decide to go down this road and allow the deep state to roll out some sort of a biological attack, whether real or simulated. We know that it's going to end up in many, many millions more people dying. And for the sake of how many people are actually going to awaken on the other end, well, we don't know the answer to that question. So all I'm suggesting here, folks, is that this is a legitimate conversation to be had. And maybe we have to start becoming more vocal and more critical, not to undermine the Q operation. But like they say, iron sharpens iron. If we have to recognize who we are and our true power as manifestations of God Almighty, if that's who we really are, then we have every right and should exercise the right to express our opinions, the way that we view this entire scenario, whether we're right or wrong. But, you know, I don't buy into this, and I've never bought into this ideology that we should just simply accept everything that we're being told. Yes, we should recognize and should find peace in the fact that so much of it is distraction and doesn't matter. But when it comes to direct threats against all of us, like another lockdown, like the release of another pathogen, you're damn right we have the right to question and should. And so I think that as we progress through this journey, we have to be open-minded in a sense about our approach and be willing to be fluid ourselves in our approach and not necessarily just have a blind trust, but actually raise up to the level of the conversation. Recognize that we have a seat at the table. That we, as a part of this plan, especially if it's really that two-pronged plan like I was describing the other day, the lady and the tramp analogy, we're both, you know, chewing on that spaghetti, attempting to meet the white hats in the middle, then yes, we have to become more vocal, more active in expressing the truth about how we really are seeing this scenario unfold. All right, folks, I'm going to cut it here because I am a little bit busy today. I recorded a lot longer than I thought I was going to. I just realized. So I'm going to say adios to all of you for the day. Hopefully you have a wonderful Sunday. Hopefully you appreciated and enjoyed this podcast. You can let me know in the comments. Please leave a like if you did. Also, make sure that you check out the links in the description and follow me on Telegram and Truth Social. And also make sure that you subscribe to me on BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean. Make sure to click on the link to check out patriotunderground.shop. So many great items in there for you to support me. I got beer mugs, I've got t-shirts, stickers. Everything's affordably priced and it helps me move in the direction that I want to go, which is to hopefully one day be able to do full-time podcasting. I'm a long way from that. Thank you to everyone out there who's been so supportive. Also, folks, be sure to check out patriotswitch.com. You hear me talk about Patriot Switch all the time, folks. It is an incredible company. It really is. And the people who have decided to sign up, the people that I've heard back from, by and large, I mean, obviously there are certain scenarios that aren't a fit for everyone, but I'm talking about at least 90, probably 95% of the people that I've heard back from have been super excited and super happy with their decision to make the switch. They're more comfortable knowing that their hard-earned money is actually going to a patriotic company that supports American jobs, that actually makes products here in America. And more importantly, even than that, these are incredibly, incredibly high quality products. Check it out today, folks. More than 2 million Americans have already made the switch. And honestly, we are engaged in a war. It's been made very clear to us that this is not over. We are engaged in the biggest, most epic battle that humanity has ever seen. And we all know the importance of reallocating our financial resources to be able to attack the enemy's debt prison, the glue that holds this matrix together. So let's do it together, folks. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. God bless and Godspeed. I'll be back soon. Patriot out.